in association with Newsarama.com. Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. Today, a real treat. Writer Jason Aaron gives us the lowdown on his modern pulp western series, Scalped, one of my personal favorites. It's about the seedy side of life on a Native American reservation. We also talk about his Vietnam miniseries, The Other Side, and his past and future work on the Marvel Monthly, Wolverine. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by MailOrderComics.com. Today's comics at yesterday's prices. If you liked them before, check them out today. They've got all new 75% discounts on pre-ordered new releases and more discounts than ever before. In fact, you can order the first trade of Scalp's first arc, called Indian Country, from Mail Order Comics for just $6.19. That, coupled with their unmatched ordering system and the best customer service to be found yet, they want to be your subscription service for all your comic book and related items. Every month you'll enjoy standard discounts of 38% on large press and up to 38% on all small press publishers. Plus, they've added double the specials with discounts of 50% or more. For all the details, go to mailordercomics.com. Now, Jason Aaron is a soft-spoken guy, but I think you're going to get a lot out of this interview. And if you haven't read some of his books, I think you're in for a treat. You're definitely going to want to check out things like The Other Side and Scalped. So without further ado, our conversation with Jason Aaron here on Word Balloon. Well, first of all, let's start with Scalped. What led you to the concept, and what kind of research did you do before you started writing the story?
Well, to me, the concept was interesting from the get-go. I thought just the idea of a book in this setting was so interesting. It's something that you hadn't really seen before. Such a rich setting in terms of history and in more recent times in terms of Native American culture. And it's just one of those long-running obsessions, kind of like the Vietnam War. You know, two of my long-running obsessions I got to turn into my first two books, which worked out great. So yeah, it was something I've been researching for a while, just out of personal interest. Native American history, the history of the Lakota, the Plains Indians, and then all the way up to the American Indian Movement in the 70s and the Leonard Peltier case.
Mm-hmm.
So that just all kind of came together.
Have you visited any reservations? You're in the Kansas City area?
Yeah, I am. No, I've never been to, Pine Ridge Reservation, which is the reservation that obviously is the heaviest influence on our fictional res. You know, but I'd love to go. And, you know, I'd never been to Vietnam either. I'd never been in the military, so...
I understand.
You know, my first two books... You could say I'm a poser in some sense, but I think you can tell I come to both subject matters with a lot of respect and have done my research.
Well, this is like when I spoke to Clay Moore about Hawaiian Dick, and I'm always curious. Have you heard from Native Americans? I mean, has there been response to the series so far?
Yeah, I hear from a lot of Native Americans who are fans of the book, you know, which has been incredibly gratifying. People from reservations all over the country who are big fans of the book and love seeing a very frank, no-nonsense series that's set on a modern-day Indian res.
I like the Donnie Brasco angle. For people who haven't read Scalped yet, give them the 10-set quick capsule of the overall story.
Well, it opens in the present day on a very run-down, poor reservation in South Dakota. You have this 20-something-year-old roughneck who returns to the res after being away for about 15 years and quickly gets embroiled with the local crime boss who's opening a new casino on the res. And at the end of the first issue, you find out that this young badass is actually an undercover FBI agent who's sent to infiltrate this criminal organization. And then from there, it kind of all turns into the different conflicts in terms of personal relationships between all our different characters and stuff that stretches back to the militant Native rights movement of the 1970s and a series of murders that took place on the res.
His mother is an activist, and you also get to see an unbelievable portrayal of the chief. I think it was issue 6 that really focused a lot, and this current arc that you've got going, Casino Boogie, is just outstanding. And
thank you.
Yeah, I think you've really fleshed out a very interesting villain and certainly shown, you know, as most great villains have, you know, more sides than just being a bad guy. So there's a guy that's kind of tortured by his past as well.
Yeah, for me, the book is all about the characters, really. And so, you know, it may have seemed a little unusual to do an arc so soon in the book that was focused just on different characters. You know, each issue of Casino Boogie focuses on a different character, although they all kind of fit together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you don't love these characters, then you're not going to love the book, basically, because the book is this group of characters. So I love being able to dive into that, and I think this arc is when we've really hit our stride and done the best work on the book so far.
The first arc is traded. It's Indian Country, and I haven't mentioned him yet, but R.M. Garrett does an incredible job. It's great when great artists and great writers find each other. No different than Michael Lark really doing his best work with Brubaker and Rucka on Gotham Central and later on Daredevil. Garrett is amazing for Scalped, and it really gives this great kind of pulpy crime feel and an authenticity to the Indian reservation as well. What is his background, and how did you hook up with him?
Garrett's a veteran comic book guy of the European scene. He's a Serbian gentleman who lives in Spain, and he's worked for years in France and in Spain doing a lot of Westerns. He came with a big Western background. And, yeah, I just met him. I was hooked up with him through Vertigo, through my editor, Will Dennis, to have this great pipeline to these European guys. And Garrett has just been amazing. He's super passionate about everything. You know, you can tell he pulls no punches and gives you just so much detail and so much atmosphere to every panel that I couldn't imagine now starting the book off with anybody else.
I noticed too, going to your blog, which is at jasonaaronblogspot.com, you've got John Paul Leon coming up for an issue. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing issue number 12, which just kind of wraps up the first year. It's a standalone issue, and it's, you know, that proverbial great jumping on point for new readers. Kind of wraps up everything and then leads into the next big arc, which is called Dead Mothers, and it's a five-part arc that's really kind of, this is the meat of the story, really. This is where everything's been heading, and it's what's going to pave the way for everything to come. So it'll be a big arc.
Is that the plan then for, you know, five-issue arcs and then a standalone?
You know, we'll just see. I've got everything mapped out to about issue 30.
Okay.
And, you know, I like mixing it up, doing a big arc and then doing some little two-issue arcs or standalone things. So, yeah, we'll just see how it all plays out.
Was this an easy sell to Will Dennis? I mean, I'm you know, it always seems like Vertigo is the place that always comes up with the interesting concepts, and the new wave of suspense and crime books and everything always seem to, you know, start with Vertigo. Did he immediately jump at the notion?
Yeah, I think so. It was after I was working on The Other Side, and mm-hmm. had done a few issues of that in the can, and they asked me to pitch some more things, and I think I sent in about four or five ideas, and what became Scalped was initially a relaunch of Scalp Hunter, the old DC Western character.
Sure.
And just evolved a little bit to become, what we have now. But yeah, that was the only one of that group that jumped out at him. So it was, yeah, it was a pretty easy sell, which I think just, again, the concept is just so obviously rich for stories and, has that social significance and that edge that Vertigo loves to see.
I really enjoy these new West stories. I like what they did with Cinnamon a couple of years ago as well, and it was Jen Van Meter who wrote that. And I think that as the traditional Western, we see it now with 310 to Yuma and some of the other films that have been coming out the last couple of years. God, what was that Tommy Lee Jones movie from just a year ago that totally got ignored by the Oscars that was awesome?
Oh, yeah, The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Before we started speaking for the record, we were talking about our mutual respect for Sam Peckinpah.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's pretty evident in Scalp that I see the Peckinpah vibe in a lot of your work.
Yeah, especially the, just that, you know, the theme in Peckinpah of these older characters who are of a previous era that, who've been passed by, and, you know, just the theme of the dying of the West and the changing of the guard and these men out of time. That's just a theme I love, and something you'll probably see popping up in my work as long as I'm able to write comics. Not to mention Peckinpah's obvious ability to direct action and just beautiful displays of bloodletting.
Good violence in Scalped, absolutely. And I didn't know that this started off as a pitch for Scalp Hunter, Is there still interest on your part, and I don't know if on DC's, to see you do more of the their Western characters? You know, Batlash and some of the other guys.
Oh, I would love to. I think, you know, I think they've already got projects going with most of those characters. But yeah, if I ever had the opportunity, I'd be all over it. You know, it's hard for me to think of a straight Western these days, kind of a post-Unforgiven. You know, I think that's like, the movie's so perfect, it kind of puts the nail in the coffin of
the genre.
Western. Yeah, I think you always have to, beyond that, I just think you have to do something different, take it somewhere else.
I haven't
even like the Three Burials was kind of, was more like a Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia kind of movie.
I agree with that. I haven't seen 310 to Yuma yet with Christian Bale and Russell Crowe.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet either. I've heard it's good though.
I love the original.
And that's based on an Elmore Leonard story too, right?
You bet, absolutely. Elmore Leonard short story. It's funny that, you know, I laugh when some people are like, "Oh, he did westerns," and it's like, "Well, yeah, for a couple decades."
Yeah, he did some of the best westerns ever. Yeah.
Let's talk about The Other Side for a second, because I had no idea that your uncle wrote the book for Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, my cousin.
Oh, your cousin.
Yeah, my mom's nephew.
Wow. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, Gus Hasford. He was an Alabama boy, country boy, who enlisted in the Marines, served as a Marine combat correspondent, 67, 68. He covered Fall of White City during the Tet Offensive. He was part of the group that broke the siege of Quezon by land. You know, so he saw lots of combat and came back or actually started working on the book when he was in country. Eventually became The Short Timers, which was published in 79, and then the rights to that were bought by Kubrick, and that's basically what Full Metal Jacket.
Wow. And for people who haven't seen your book with Cameron Stewart, explain The Other Side.
Well, it's a Vietnam War tale that focuses on two characters. One of them, an American Marine who's drafted into the war. The other, a North Vietnamese soldier who enlists to defend his country. And it follows the two of them through their training and their various journeys through Vietnam. So when they finally come together at Quezon, and, you know, compares and contrasts their two experiences. Big part of it is that both of them are dealing with very surreal, horrific visions of ghosts and all sorts of strange creatures along the way.
It slightly reminded me of one of my favorite Twilight Zones, and it was right near the end of the run where it was called Point of View, and an American soldier has a moment where he suddenly finds himself in the body of a Vietnamese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Never seen that one.
It's, you know, and again, it was very brief. Or actually, I believe maybe it was a Japanese soldier. I think it might have taken place in World War II. But yeah, it was very surprising and interesting to see, you know, him questioning, you know, how much do we know about the enemy, and, you know, why are they the enemy? And, you know, the usual questions I think anybody asks when they find themselves in the middle of war.
Yeah, and especially with the Vietnam War, that's a question that for most Americans, I don't think I've ever really seen addressed in terms in movies or popular culture. You know, even in recent years, that Mel Gibson movie, the Vietnam War movie,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
We Were Soldiers.
Yes,
one, something like that. You know, look at how the Vietnamese are portrayed in that, and they're again just a slightly removed from the just the shadowy presence that we'd seen in the past. So even after all these years, there was still no thought giving to that other perspective. So yeah, that was a big part of doing the book, obviously, was trying to show readers you know, the other side of this war, and that it's not, especially in a situation like the Vietnam War, it's not all black and white. You know, it's just a huge, messy mix of gray.
Would your did your cousin have a chance to read it?
No, he died in 93.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But kind of what led to me doing the book was that I had spent several years since he died researching his life and pulling together works by him, short stories and whatnot, for a website, and eventually leading towards I want to do a full-fledged biography.
That's
that
cool.
led to me meeting his group of combat correspondents and getting to hang out with those guys, and so kind of all that research I was doing, you know, seemed like a natural to one of the first things I ever pitched was that Vietnam War story.
What do you think of with the Iraq War and its wrinkles? And I hate to like get dispassionate about it and throw out all the politics, but really just the way the war is being operated, things like, and it's funny, with it coming out the last week or so, the Blackwater contractors and things.
Yeah.
Don't you find really the way that this war is being fought just an interesting group of ideas that would make for amazing stories?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, when I wrote, I actually first pitched The Other Side before there was a war in Iraq, so it was, I didn't write it as a reaction to that. You know, it's very much a Vietnam War story.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, as I was working on it and as things were moving along, yeah, it became eerie, and you'd see hear comments made by GIs or by their families that, you know, you could have heard the exact same thing back in 1969 or 1970. So yeah, it's definitely moving, you know, in that same sort of quagmire status, which is scary.
What do you think of the last few years of comic book war stories? I've been pleased with, you know, I mean, obviously it's always great when Joe Kubert comes back.
Oh yeah.
And writes the Sergeant Rock. And I thought he and Azzarello, I thought, did a great job. But Garth Ennis's War Stories, I thought, was an amazing overlooked series that just, each time it would come out, was just incredible, and great artists that he hooked up with, but just beautiful stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those books were actually why I pitched The Other Side to Will Dennis, because he was the editor on those. But, you know, other than those books you've mentioned, that's pretty much it for war comics. The last several years, there just haven't been that much. You know, it's pretty much a dead genre.
Yeah, I know Tom Waltz had an interesting story last year for IDW called Children of the Grave. That was kind of a monster story with an Iraq war backdrop.
Oh, really? I didn't read that one.
And I just got an amazing omnibus of war stories in the last couple of weeks, and I think a British publisher put it out. As we're talking, I'm going to look up at it right now. David Kendall is the editor, and it's called The Mammoth Book of Best War Comics, and it's just incredible, and it really...
British comics or American?
It had both. It actually had a lot of European stuff as well, and it's really amazing. I mean, it's this nice soft cover, you know, giant trade, you know, paperback, but it's the size of a book, a regular novel kind of soft cover omnibus. And yeah, it's just amazing, over 25 stories, and you got a lot of Stan Gladsman stuff, some Archie Goodwin, some Alex Toth drawn stories, really amazing. Not too much DC, but it looks like there's a lot of Charlton in there and a lot of, I guess, a couple DC stories, but not the obvious stuff. So, have you picked up any of those showcase collections of Unknown Soldier and things like that?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think I've got pretty much all those. And, you know, and my favorite war stories, I'd say, of all time, are still the EC books, Frontline Combat, Two-Fisted Tales. Just such great stuff, and, you know, stuff that hasn't lost any of its punch over the years.
It's pretty incredible, too, that they're telling these stories in, like, 8 and 11 pages.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And plus, Don Lomax's Vietnam Journal, which came out in the late 80s, around the same time as Marvel's Phnom, during that whole flood of just, you know, when after Platoon and Full Metal Jacket, when Vietnam was kind of an end thing.
Yeah.
Vietnam Journal was really overshadowed by the Nam, but it's I think a much better book.
And he was a little more authentic as well. He was a vet. I mean, not that Golden and Golden was a vet as well. I know that.
Yeah, yeah, and Doug Murray, who wrote,
and Doug Murray, yes,
was the original writer on the Nam, was a vet. But yeah, Lomax was the writer and artist on Vietnam Journal, and he was a Vietnam vet, and Vietnam Journal was a mature reader's book, so it's much more gritty, obviously, than the Nam. It's a very, very gritty, very brutal story that, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know about.
There might be some Lomax in that book. I'm going to have to crack it open and see.
He also did a Desert Storm story during the first Gulf War, which was pretty interesting too.
Yeah, I'm always pleased that when the other genres are explored beyond superheroes, and I think you do good superhero work. And we're gonna get, because I know you've got more superhero work coming up, and you did that great single issue of Wolverine.
Thank you.
Tell me about Ripclaw before we get to Wolverine, because I know Top Cow is, you know, in the midst of pilot season, and you were one of the guys that came out with one of the first issues.
It was a lot of fun. I loved working on that Ripclaw book. I loved working with Top Cow. They kind of just let me do what I wanted to do, you know, which was great. And, you know, Ripclaw is one of those characters from that era when, like, if you go try to read his Wikipedia entry for his origin, and it makes your head hurt. So we, you know, I tried to just strip everything away from him and boil him down to he's a Native American version of Wolverine, basically. But we took this connection he'd always had to the spirit world and made him kind of like the kid in Sixth Sense, that he's haunted by ghosts of people who died violently but left things undone. So he's got to travel around and put things right for these people, which, of course, in your Ripclaw, is going to involve killing lots and lots of other people. But it was huge fun, and working with Jorge Lucas was great. I think he did great work on that, and you know, I'm really proud of it. I think I hear from a lot of people who, you know, couldn't care less about Ripclaw, who really enjoyed it.
I can see that, man, because I think your style of writing, again, is a style that once people get a taste of you, they want to follow everything you do, and I've certainly become one of those guys. I think the line is forming, man, and I think more people are coming out. You did Friday the 13th. Are you on an ongoing arc then on that?
No, it's just a two-issue story.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was actually the first thing I wrote, other than The Other Side of Scalp. You know, I wrote that back at the beginning of the year, probably. But that was great, just in the sense that, like, oh, here's a story I can write that I don't have to research. You know, I watched all those movies when I was 15, so I just sat down and wrote it. And again, you know, it was a lot of fun. Tried to do something a little different with it. But, you know, I still had to sneak in a moment where he killed two people in a sleeping bag by slamming them against a tree. So.
I seem to remember a film like that. That's always a good way to kill somebody in a horror film.
Yeah, isn't it?
Are there more horror stories in your future?
I hope so. I'm you know, not in my immediate future, but you know, I just love doing. I love sampling different genres and just doing as many different things as I can. You know, it's great to flex all those different creative muscles. So yeah, I think. As long as I'm able to work in this business, I'll always want to try something different.
That one shot that you did of Wolverine with Howard Chaykin, first of all, it had to have been a thrill to work with Howard Chaykin.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, and I thought that was a great story. And, you know, it's always tough to come in with a single issue, and especially following, you know, an arc like... the low bark and everything, but it was it was great, and it was a great interlude. And I'm glad to hear from your blog that you've got more Wolverine coming up.
Yeah, I am doing a 4-issue arc that starts in February with Ron Garney on art, which is another great coup.
You bet.
I don't think I'm really supposed to say what it's about, but it spins out of the Messiah Complex event that's going on, or about to be going on.
Would you rather not talk about this right now? I mean, I can.
No, it's been announced, but I don't think I'm supposed to say, like, in terms of the story of them.
I see.
But it does connect a little bit to the Messiah Complex.
I see. Well, this is your first project with Marvel. Who's editing you at Marvel?
Axel Alonso, I've been working with on the Wolverine stuff.
That's a nice fit. Obviously, you know, him coming from Vertigo and everything, I can see you guys working together well. That's cool.
It's been great. He and I have really seemed to have hit it off, and, you know, you feel like you're in good hands when he's the one kind of guiding the ship. So yeah, I got no complaints. You know, even though I'm still pretty new in the business, I appreciate the being able to work with great editors. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're getting to do great stories and great characters. I mean, I hope that DC still, as you stay freelance, that both companies are able to take advantage and throw you some nice assignments.
Yeah, they got my phone number. I'm here. I'm looking to take advantage of whatever. Like I said, I love doing different things. I love creator-owned stories. I love what I'm doing with Vertigo, but, I grew up on superheroes, so... I'm not doing Wolverine because, in this industry you kind of have to do that stuff. I really enjoy what I'm doing. So
that's cool.
As long as I'm enjoying it, I'm going to keep doing that kind of stuff.
Without, giving away any possible, gems of secrets or anything like that, and as far as stories goes, what other characters, mainstream characters, would you like a chance to get a crack at?
I'd love a chance to do a Batman story. I've been a huge Batman fan since I was a kid. Beyond that, I don't know. I tend to, I gravitate more towards the quirky characters. Like, I love Steve Gerber's Marvel stuff from the 70s, Man-Thing and Son of Satan, those kind of characters.
Cool.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm open to doing whatever, as long as it's something that that I'm enjoying.
Very cool. I'm trying to think of what else. What other movies have you seen? Any of the movies this year? Anything good?
God, I don't. I have a 2-year-old, so I don't ever get to the movies anymore. Like, I used to go all the time, but I think the last thing I saw was that Shoot 'Em Up, which was just atrocious. I thought that was horrible.
Really? That's the Clive Owen Giamatti movie.
And I wasn't really expecting much, and I was still disappointed.
That's interesting, because I usually trust Roger Ebert, and he really loved it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to go read his review. No, I thought it was terrible.
Yeah, he gave it like 3.5 stars. I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
Well, that's disappointing.
I haven't. Probably the last movie I've seen that, just made me flip my lid was Children of Men.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It was just incredible.
Very cool. Any cool DVDs lately? You said you brought your dad a Pack and Pot collection.
I bought that for my father-in-law just this weekend, which had Wild Bunch, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, Cable Hogue, and Ride the High Country, which I want to go borrow that Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid DVD from him, because I just love that movie, and I don't own it. Just one of my favorite movies. And Gira's favorite movies too, The Artist on the Scalp.
That's cool.
That's one of those movies he references a lot. It's been a big influence on him.
It was interesting to see too, because when I first saw Scalp, I thought of Donnie Brasco.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the infiltration and stuff, but you mentioned State of Grace.
Yeah. A lot of people when they were the book was first coming out were obviously referencing Thunderheart.
Yes.
And Donnie Brasco. If you've seen State of Grace and you've read the first issue of Scout, I think you can see where the idea came from.
That's cool. That's a great movie,
Yeah, I love that movie. I think it's one that just a lot of people haven't seen.
No, I think you're right. And I think if they, as you point out in your blog, the people that are in it, it's Sean Penn, Ed Harris, and Gary Oldman. I mean, that's a great cast there. And yeah, it'll be a decent series. What did you happen to see? And it's funny; it's set in Hell's Kitchen, and it deals with the Irish mob. Did you watch the Black Donnellys last summer?
I think I TiVo'd the first episode and just never got around to watching it because was it any good?
It was okay. It was kind of Sopranos light, and there was definitely that kind of WB CW pretty boy kid element to it that I think hurt it slightly, but I thought they did a pretty good job, and I was disappointed that it wasn't coming back. So, but once I heard that it wasn't coming back, I'm like, all right, well, then I don't want to watch an unfinished story, so I bailed.
I mean, State of Grace to me is just such a perfect film, and just totally sums up that that neighborhood and that Irish mob. I don't know, it'd be hard to do anything in that vein.
Were you a Wise Guy fan?
Oh yeah, the TV show. Oh yeah, yeah. I loved Wise Guy. Yeah, Homicide is probably my all-time favorite.
That's a great show, absolutely.
At least before The Wire.
Yeah, The Wire's amazing.
The Wire was another big influence on Scout's in terms of the scope of that show.
Have you talked much with your contemporary crime writers, like Brubaker and Azzarello and Bendis and guys like that?
No, those guys are all assholes. I don't like them.
They are.
No, those guys are great. Yeah, Brubaker has been great in terms of giving Scalp plugs here and there online. And, I've met him a few times. He actually came to a show in Kansas City last year. And, Azzarello, I see at shows all the time, and he's another great guy. Great guy to have a beer with and chat with. And, I've been really lucky in that all the, especially the Vertigo writers, like Brian Wood and Brian Vaughn,
mm-hmm.
they've all been so kind to me. They go out of their way to plug my work and help me in any way I need it. So, it's been like kind of walking into a family, which has been great.
That's cool. Why comics as opposed to novels or short stories for you?
I've written some short stories, and I wrote one really bad novel and tried to write a few others. I think it was, I don't know. I've known I wanted to be a writer for a long time, but I grew up in the middle of nowhere in Alabama where, I'd never met anyone who did comics for a living. There was nobody who did that in my neck of the woods. So I had no idea how to even go about breaking into the business, because it's such a notoriously difficult business to get your foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of wandered around doing crappy day jobs and writing movie reviews and short stories here and there, and then won a Marvel Talent Search contest in 2002, which didn't lead to anything else, but just encouraged me to say, to believe that, hey, maybe I actually could do something in that business. So it encouraged me to keep plugging away, even when I was pitching the other side to pretty much every company I could find info on and getting turned down, before finally emailing an editor at Vertigo totally out of the blue and getting a response, getting him to agree to read the script. First issue script.
Wow. Yeah, that's difficult, absolutely.
So if I hadn't won that contest, I don't think I would have ever done that.
What was your subject for the contest?
It was a Wolverine. It was a Marvel Talent Search contest they did the summer of 2001, where they picked a writer and artist to do Thor and a writer and artist to do Wolverine. So it was just an 8-page Wolverine story that was published, Wolverine 175, back in 2002.
That's cool.
Which was basically the version of the Flannery O'Connor short story, A Good Man Is Hard to Find. Kind of like Flannery O'Connor plus a bit of Brian Azzarello's Hellblazer run.
Okay.
With Wolverine. At the time it was incredibly exciting to win that.
Oh, absolutely.
I think some people think of, they see all the work I've had in the last year and think like, oh, this guy kind of came out of nowhere, but, it's still taken me about 6 years to get to this point.
Are there any difficulties that you still find when you write for the comic format, or do you feel that you come to it pretty naturally now, this 6 years down the road, where, are you comfortable writing in the comic script format and everything?
Yeah. I've always been comfortable in it, and I've always been a huge comic book fan. know, I got into comics. The oldest comics I have, my mom bought me before I could read. But, you know, in the 80s, it was books like New Teen Titans and Atari Force and Blue Devil and Alan Moore Swamp Thing, of course, that, you know, turned me into a huge comic book fan. But I've been reading them nonstop since then. You know, I never, like a lot of people, kind of get out of them in college and then come back later. You know, I've been reading comics the whole time. So yeah, it seemed like it came pretty natural. I think, you know, as long as you understand how to tell a story, kind of the format you can figure out. But that said, you know, I think I'm still a new guy. I've written, I don't know, maybe 22 scripts at this point. So, you know, that's nothing compared to most of these guys.
Sure. No, I understand.
Yeah, hopefully I'm still getting better.
Well, all I can do is judge you what you've laid out so far, man, and I've enjoyed what I've read. It's great stuff, and thanks. As we wrap up, I just want to say I appreciate it. And the Scalped is an excellent monthly series, and if you're not reading it, folks, definitely start and check out Jason's collected version of The Other Side. And I believe that Wolverine is still probably on the rack somewhere. You might be able to still find it, the single issue. And then you're coming back on issue 61 at the beginning of the year.
That's right, and I'll also have I'll have another Marvel project debuting that same month that they haven't announced yet.
Okay.
February should be a good month for me.
Well, maybe when they do make the announcement, we can come back and talk a little bit more.
I would be down for that.
Excellent. Again, and don't forget Ripclaw as well from Top Cow, a part of their pilot season. Check out that special issue. And
Friday the 13th, if you like stories about machetes or people getting killed with machetes.
Yeah, I would say the point is, if the book has Jason Aaron's name on it, buy it, because the guy's a damn good writer. And thanks for the work, man, and keep it up, and we'll check back in around February to find out when the announcement comes out, to find out what you might be doing.
That sounds great.
That's writer Jason Aaron. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by MailOrderComics.com. Today's comics at yesterday's prices. If you liked them before, check them out today. They've got all new 75% discounts on pre-ordered new releases and more discounts than ever before. In fact, you can order the first trade of Scalp's first arc, called Indian Country, from Mail Order Comics for just $6.19. That, coupled with their unmatched ordering system and the best customer service to be found yet, they want to be your subscription service for all your comic book and related items. Every month you'll enjoy standard discounts of 38% on large press and up to 38% on all small press publishers. Plus, they've added double the specials with discounts of 50% or more. For all the details, go to mailordercomics.com. Thanks again for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, you can find Word Balloon all over the internet. We're at myspace.com/wordballoon, comicspace.com/wordballoon, of course, our usual post at newsarama.com. If you have any questions or comments on the show, I can always be reached via email, john@wordballoon.com. And if you'd like to leave us any type of review at Podcast Alley or at iTunes, we certainly would appreciate it. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved.